Bunker Mates. I'm Cherokee McAnally, head of entertainment at Tumblr, who still hasn't made it through The Last of Us game prologue. It's been about 100 deaths and counting.
Oof, that's rough. And I'm Lauren Chippen, professional writer who has made it all the way through The Last of Us game several times, but who would die instantly in a real-life apocalypse situation.
Same. Yeah. And this is Dashboard Diaries, a podcast for you, the folks who are in this internet bunker with us. We talk about what's going on our favorite hell site, get into what we like to call Tumblr, do fandom deep dives, and share the times when we've gone feral over a new ship. So, Lauren, what has your last week on Tumblr been like?
I feel like it's been like peak Tumblr the past couple of weeks because we've had the new Shadow and Bone season. We've had the Last of Us finale. We have The Mandalorian. So like Pedro Pascal, it's just wall to wall Pedro Pascal.
Oh, Tumblr daddy.
And Tumblr daddy. And of course, the Ides of March, one of Tumblr's central holidays.
Of course.
And Tumblr did a lot of like special stuff for Ides of March this year. Do you want to like walk us through what like Tumblr official actually did? Because I don't even know that I know of all of
yes.
it.
Yes. So first off, we did our Ides of March promotion and takeover on the 19th. Why? I don't know. Because we did.
Holidays have no rules.
Exactly. Especially on Tumblr. It's what day we say it is. You know, we made a water bottle in our swag store that says we should totally just stab Caesar. So that was kind of like our main thing that we did. And then I think we did some stuff on staff. I will be honest. I have been totally in the weeds on Shadow and Bone for the past week and literally have not looked at a single email other than our, like, we did, like, a Shadow and Bone answer time. So there's got to be more, and I feel so embarrassed to say this, that I don't know that staff did. So, and that's, that's my bad. Sorry, guys.
No, I mean, I just love that Tumblr participated in the holiday this year. And like, I've been seeing so, like, more so than any other year, I feel like my dash has just been filled with Ides of March posts for the past, like, 2 weeks. Like, there was, like, a lead-up to it.
Oh, 100%. What was your favorite Ides of March post? Because I have a bunch favorited.
I reblogged a couple of great Ides of March memes on dashboarddiaries.tumblr.com, and we will certainly reblog more because, Cherokee, I want to know what those favorites are. But one of the ones I reblogged, which I loved just because also it's in the spirit of Tumblr's wonderful tradition of making movie posters for movies that don't exist, is a movie poster for Knives In with the font of Knives Out. And it's just this great mystery movie poster, you know, but starring Gaius Julius Caesar and Quintus Caepio Brutus. And then the other post that I reblogged that I was like, oh my goodness, like, is this really the beginning of the Ides of March obsession on Tumblr, is a post from, I believe, 9 or 10 years ago of a knife stabbed into a classic Caesar dressing craft bottle. And someone commenting, being like, why is this such a popular post? Someone tell me what this is about. And then someone else replying with, no one tell him. And then a recent reblog said, this is it, lads. The post that started us on this path 9 years ago. I sure hope no one told him. Someone, you know, clearly not getting the joke of stabbing Caesar. And I never really thought about where the origin of the Ides of March obsession on Tumblr began. And so it's interesting that this might be sort of the Rosetta Stone of this particular meme.
Oh, my God. The Rosetta Ranch. Well, I guess it's Caesar dressing, so that doesn't even...
Still, it works, though.
We'll allow it.
What about you? What are some of your favorite Ides of March posts that you've favorited?
So there was one from this year that I will reblog to the Dashboard Diaries Tumblr that says, Tumblr recommendations, : it's time to celebrate the Ides of March. Me, : wasn't the Ides of March 4 days ago? Tumblr recommendations, well, now it's time to celebrate it. So I love that.
Some good-natured ribbing.
Yes, exactly. You know what? We're in on the joke, right? We didn't forget. We obviously didn't. it's actually my bad. I had a takeover reserved on that day for a Q&A that was supposed to be promoted, and then it got shifted at the last minute. So, sorry.
Jerry-gee.
Sorry, guys. I'll make it up to you. Please don't stab me. So my other favorite post was from Julius-Caesar, and it says,
excellent.
Hanging with my boys in the Senate on Wednesday the 15th. Can't wait to see what they've got planned. I hope it's a surprise party. So just, yeah, another classic. I love a good Tumblr holiday. You know what? No other
do
website
too.
Does just completely random holidays than Tumblr. You know,
yeah.
We love the 5th of November for multiple reasons, not just the obvious.
For multiple reasons.
You know?
Yeah. Speaking of November 5th, one of Tumblr's biggest holidays, Cherokee, do you have a supernatural update for us this week?
Do I ever, Lauren? It was a big episode on Supernatural this week, as it always is, but this one especially. We've had some revelations, some key moments, not only just in the episode, but also in the watching of the episode. Like, my notes are a roller coaster.
I'm so excited.
So this is season one, episode 14, titled Nightmare. Essentially, it opens on Sam having a dream about, like, someone killing his parents, and he actually go to where, you know, he thinks he saw the dream and it's just happened. So he's having these premonitions. And so I immediately wrote, is this The Exorcist with like 10 exclamation points? because the like kid who killed his like parents or killed his father, excuse me, not his parents, has like, I wrote, he has powers like an evil Matilda. So he's been over here,
that's
like,
so accurate,
you know, carrying knives around in the air, as one does, you know. Matilda does chocolates, and this guy does knives. And you know what?
Yeah, great.
To each their own. Speaking of the Ides of March, you know?
Yeah, very true.
So anyway, this like kid has powers, and it turns out that both Sam and this kid had mother sealing deaths, as I so eloquently wrote it.
The classic mother on the ceiling death.
Hate to see it. Ah, oh, man, not again.
Hate to see it.
So they obviously have these really like parallel lives. And then Sam says that apparently like he started feeling like he's been developing powers over the past 6 months. And so he thinks he Ooh. And like this boy are like linked. And sadly, this kid doesn't make it through the end of the episode. But, you know, I hope Sam really goes on to figure out his own powers. And I hope no one else dies on the ceiling. Don't tell me if they do, Lauren.
I honestly can't remember.
I'll start a tally.
Yeah. Dean deaths, Sam deaths, ceiling
yeah.
deaths.
I think we're on three so far. We have mom number one ceiling death, girlfriend ceiling death, mom number two ceiling death. I think we may have one other one in there so far, but I could be wrong.
Listeners, yeah. Please tell us.
Please kind of give us the final tally for season one. And also, you know, if you're watching through the full on.
We'd love to know those stats.
15 ceiling deaths, 15 seasons of ceiling deaths, you know? Okay. So another great episode. Can't wait on. I kind of wish that this episode had been episode 15 to really go just in theme with all of the topics we're talking about. But with that, as we go through the archives of Supernatural, why don't we head on over to the archives of our Tumblr? What do you have for us this week,
Please.
Lauren?
Yes. Okay. So this is a post from 3 years ago from somewhere around March 21st, the day that we're recording. And it is just titled Flegel. And it's got a picture. The original post is from Dirt Shrines of a little frog plushie that seems to just have two hind legs and no front legs and enormous eyes. And it's got a tag coming off of it that says Flegel. And then Dirt Trians reblogged it with Fruff, which is another frog plushie. This time it does have hands and two little feet and a tag from it saying Fruff. And then, of course, someone made fan art of Flegel and Fruff and said they are in love. So Flegel and Fruff, they're in love. This is just one of my favorite genres of Tumblr posts, which is that someone posts what is essentially nonsense, mm-hmm. right? Like these two nonsense words with pictures of plush frogs. And then someone else on Tumblr is like, you know what? I'm going to make beautiful original art about this. I just, it's so wonderful.
I love it so much. This is hilarious. Also, I would watch a full-length feature film about Flegel and Fruff. So,
absolutely. Flegel and Fruff, new Tumblr mascots, 100%. Our Blurbo of the Week.
Oh, yes. Flegel and Fruff. You are so right. Maybe that'll be our next App Store icon.
Yes. What about you, Cherokee? What do you have from the archives?
So I have something relevant to a couple things. I would say first, kind of vaguely Ides of Marchy, but also because Scream 6 just came out. And I think it kind of ties into that too. So I reblogged this from Gracie Books like in March 2016-ish, like around this week. And it says, murderer via text, I'm going to kill you. Me, a week later. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I saw this when I was in the middle of doing something else and then just completely forgot about it.
Real.
I love this. It's so relatable. I have like a 3 to 5 business day text response rate at best.
Oh yeah.
So just, yeah, overall, really connect with that one.
Very relatable. Yeah. And truly topical. Right? I love it.
Just, it is the moment. Speaking of murder, we are going to get into the topic of this episode, The Last of Us, after a quick ad break.
This week's Tumblr vibe is making jokes with your friends about something that happened over 2,000 years ago, because that's what friendship is.
All right, so The Last of Us, as most of you, many of you know, the season finale was 2 weeks ago. The season finale of The Last of Us happened. We all have emotions about it. We all have a lot to talk about. We will never be the same. I don't know if I'm talking for everyone, but I hope
I think
I am.
You are. Yeah.
So yeah. To start off, I believe you have a little Last of Us themed game, Lauren.
I do. Well, because you have been watching The Last of Us TV adaptation on HBO.
Indeed.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you loved it so much that you purchased a PS4 and are now playing the game.
I did. Yes. About 2 episodes in, I thought, I'm impatient. I'm going to overnight a PS4 to myself so that I can immediately play through and finish this game before the season ends to know what happens. The hubris.
But the confidence. I respect the confidence. So I have a little quiz for you, which is pretty much the only weapons we've seen in the show are guns, basically, and Ellie's knife, right? But there is a whole myriad of weapons that are not in the show that appear in the game. So of these following weapons, which is not a weapon that appears in the game? Hatchet, Molotov cocktail, baseball bat with nails through it, pipe with a knife taped to it, flamethrower. Only one of these doesn't actually appear in the game, and I want you to guess which one.
And it doesn't appear in the game, but it may have appeared in the show, or am I just overthinking about the show?
In the show.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I swear I saw a baseball bat with a knife with nails through it in the like scene at the campus with the monkeys and everything when they got attacked by the cannibals. Just spoiling everything here for anyone listening. Apologies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is going to be a spoiler-heavy episode for sure. But no, we really only see Joel handle guns in the show.
Okay.
But he has a much wider arsenal of weapons in the game that you have yet to get to. And so one of these is not an option in the game. And I want you to guess which one it is.
Okay. I am going to go hatchet.
No. So the one that actually does not appear in the game is a baseball bat with nails through it.
Really? So the one that I immediately guessed that definitely appears in everything. Got it. Yes.
So there is a baseball bat and you can modify it, I stole that from Stranger Things, right? Like that's Steve Harrington's weapon in Stranger Things, basically.
Oh, yes, it is.
But the reason that I wanted to bring this up is because I love that you can fight zombies with a pipe that you tape a knife to in the game. That's literally a modification you can make to a pipe. And also, I kept waiting for Joel to get a flamethrower in the show. And he never got a flamethrower. It is one of my favorite weapons in the game. And we never got it. So I am keeping my fingers crossed for a season two. But you have a lot of fun gameplay ahead of you, Cherokee.
Wow.
And now that you know where the story's going, how are you feeling? Like, how are you feeling about the show? How are you feeling about the game? Where are you at?
First of all, I ruined season two and game two for myself weeks ago because I have no patience.
No!
Yeah, and I didn't even mean
oh
to.
My God.
But I am like, I am not giving up in my pursuit to finish this game, but it is, I'm on easy mode, obviously. Obviously.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it
yeah,
is
of course.
So challenging. I just really.
It's hard.
And also, though, like, I get, like, it's, I'm excited to play through this, and I feel like to play through it and then rewatch The Last of Us. I already kind of want to rewatch The Last of Us now that I know what happens to, like, I, you know, see what I missed, but I'm like, no, I feel like I should play through the game, and then in 5 to 7 years, when I've completed the game, go back and rewatch. But yeah, I'm like, look, I'm an impulse buyer, but I intend to, you know, to make it through to the end, and maybe we can do a follow-up episode once I've played all the way through the game.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll light a fire. and it's I've been watching gameplay of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to get through what I'm trying to get by. I just have to run. Like, I just have to run. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I believe I can do it. I can do it. We'll get.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Multiple people
You've got
that
this.
I've told have been like, I will come over to your house. I will play you through the prologue. And I'm like, I'm not a cheater.
No. Yeah. You got it. You got to do
I've
it.
I've got to do this.
It's only going to get harder.
Exactly. If I can't make it through this, like, what am I going to do with a pipe with a knife on it? You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the final episode compared to how the game ends? And also, what did you think overall of the final episode?
I mean, I loved the whole series overall. And I thought, it's funny, when we got to the end of episode 8, the penultimate mm-hmm. episode, I was like, okay, so we're doing the whole last act in the last episode, because it would be so weird to split this up. And then when that Sunday came around and I went to the Last of Us, you know, HBO Max page and saw that the episode was 43 minutes, I was like, wait, are we not doing the, are we not finishing game
yeah.
one? Like, I, like, how are they going to pack this in? And I have to say, I was like really pleasantly surprised and really impressed by how much story they fit into one of the shortest episodes of the season. Mm. And that's in part because they did take out a particularly like long sort of action sequence that happens in the game that I won't say too much about because I think it is going to be like fun for you to play. But I thought it was great, and I thought that it delivered the thing that the game delivers to you really effectively, which is sort of making you emotionally complicit in Joel's violence. Mm-hmm. And also, because of some very, like, slight but important differences in the way that Pedro Pascal approached Joel mm-hmm. versus the way that Troy Baker approaches Joel in the game, that particular sequence in the hospital and then the conversations he has with Ellie after the fact felt different in an interesting way. And I'm really curious to see – A, I'm really curious to see what season two is – because I don't think that this is a spoiler, really, for Game 2. But Game 2 picks up 4 years after Game 1. And I would be surprised if they just leapt to that directly. So I'm, like, really curious to sort of see how they fill that time and what they do structurally. And I'm also kind of intrigued to see how Pedro Pascal's particular, like, coldness in that hospital sequence
yeah.
affects the story moving forward. But as somebody who didn't know that was coming, like, what was your reaction to Joel slaughtering everybody?
I mean, when he was leaving the hospital with the two kind of people, with those two people, like, following him out, like, at gunpoint, I was like, there's no way that he's just gonna, like, frolic on out of here. Like, absolutely not. And so the moment, like, he started, like, you know, attacking them, I was like, I actually think I said yes out loud. Like, and then I think, like, I was like, I'm just like, and I didn't, I expected it to kind of like maybe him to fight them off and then kind of go get her. And I didn't expect him to kill every single like living being in the building. And I feel, I don't know if there's a conflicting opinion about his actions here based on kind of like the possibility of Ellie being the, you know, the cure. But it seemed to me mm-hmm. that I was like, you guys are just going to immediately go in and kill her. And you don't have a lot of technology here. I don't feel like you're set up to make a vaccine. So I feel like you're just going to. So I was kind of like all for it. I don't know if people were, you know, thought felt differently about that because that was their whole journey. But I was like, you know what? I respect his decision there. Obviously, in gameplay world, not in real life world. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course. we are in a fiction.
Yeah. In the post-apocalyptic scenario in question.
I mean, I think that's been one of the really interesting things about watching Tumblr react to this finale has been seeing the varying opinions and sort of the discourse around Joel's actions, mm-hmm. especially since I first played the Last of Us in 2020 of all times.
great timing.
Yeah, great timing. So you know, I played it 7 years after the game had come out, and so I sort of missed all the original discourse around the game, right? Like, by the time that I approached the game, it was already considered like one of the greatest games ever made, which it is. And what's interesting is I played it like a month before The Last of Us 2 came out, and then I played The Last of Us 2, and I was kind of around for all the Last of Us 2 discourse, which obviously I'm not going to get into. But I think I the thing that I love about the game and the thing that I love that the TV show did not shy away from is that it wants you to have that reaction of like, I stand by what Joel did. Like, it wants you to be like, I think I would have done the same thing. And also, this is horrific. And I think that they did that really well. And I think especially like the way that Bella Ramsey played Ellie's mm-hmm. reactions in that last scene that they have where she's like, don't lie to me.
Yeah.
And you can tell that she knows something is mm-hmm. off, right? Like, she doesn't know what necessarily, but she knows something is off. And I've been seeing a lot of that on Tumblr, like a lot of, you know, conversation around the complexity and the nuances of this particular decision mm-hmm. and what the narrative wants you to think about it. And I it's been really interesting to watch people have to grapple with the fact that there's like not an easy answer,
yeah.
right? Like, you're not supposed to be cheering at the end. Like, you're not. I was talking to a friend who hasn't played the game but has really been enjoying the TV show, and she hadn't watched the finale yet, and she was like, you know, did you like, were you satisfied by the way that they adapted the first season? Like, you know, did you like the ending? And I was like, yes, I loved the last episode. I think they did a great job. But am I satisfied is an impossible question
yeah.
because in both playing the game and watching the show, it's like, no, you're not satisfied. You're kind of left with this like pit in your stomach feeling that I love art that like makes me feel that way because it's so different from, you know, a more clear-cut kind of like I love John Wick,
yeah.
right? And like, and I think that those movies are very much like, yeah, let's watch this guy murder a bunch of people because someone killed his dog,
yeah.
like woohoo. And I think that there's a place for that kind of stuff, and there's a place for The Last of Us of like, oh, I feel bad. I feel bad about this.
Yeah, it's very, like, even I feel like my gut, like, emotional reaction was, oh my gosh, thank God he's going to save Ellie because this is the person that we've been rooting for this entire time. But if you flipped the narrative and showed us the Firefly's perspective of all of this, I don't know. I still think they were making a very ethically questionable decision by not telling anyone that she was going to die.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that has all of its own, you know, obviously I'm sure this is where a lot of the discourse is, but it's like, it was hard for me to not be like, I feel good that he did this, but obviously it's not a good thing that he did. Same with John Wick. I actually just started watching the John Wick movies, and I have like, I don't like when animals get hurt in anything. Like, no. I can't handle
it. It's awful.
And I, like, everyone was like, no, it's just a small part of it. And, like, so my friends were like, you're going to watch this because we're going to go see John Wick 4. And, like, oh, God, hated that first 20 minutes. Like, oh, my God. But, the, like, I was absolutely vindicated after it was, like, one dog's life for 200 people. You know what? That's why you don't mess with someone's dog, man.
Absolutely. And in the, like, in the heightened reality of John Wick, it, like, feels totally justified. It feels, like, completely correct. And I think that, because The Last of Us is more grounded. And, oh, man, everything you just said, I'm just, like, once you're done, I mean, well, I'm curious to see. Again, like, we'll have to see what sort of future episodes of The Last of Us do, because they definitely are working on a season two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Last of Us 2 adds along to this conversation in a very interesting way, in a way that was, like, incredible. Incredibly divisive for fans and critics. And also, if you don't like animals getting hurt and anything, maybe don't play The Last of Us 2.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Oh, no. That was one of the worst, like, mechanics of it for me.
Yeah.
And that's just a general warning to anybody who's thinking about playing that game, that if you can't handle playing a character who hurts animals, don't play Last of Us 2.
Yeah, I actually think that would be hard for me, but I'll play all the way through Last of Us 1.
Last of Us 1, you're fine.
Ready to rock. Because I was even so sad about what happens to their horse. I was like, it's like, I obviously like people dying in shows, like, it's sad too, but I don't know, animal deaths like hit differently. Like, I will,
they do, because like they're not like consenting to the same kind of, like, that horse was just a horse being ridden. Like, that horse didn't want to get into fights with people, you know?
Yeah, it probably wants to be running through a field somewhere. Like, you know, exactly. Did not ask to be a part of this narrative.
exactly.
I always have to, like, when I'm watching a show like this, I always have to remind myself, I'm like, that horse is okay. That horse is in its little horsey home. It's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. It was treated well.
Like, it got to hang out with Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. I'm jealous of that horse. So
I do. Let's look
at it that way. Yeah.
Normally, my inclination would be to replay the games, right? But I've done that, and I will jump back in every now and then and, like, play a couple sequences and stuff or jump into a particular chapter. But the thing that I'm really excited about with the show being so successful and having such an incredible fandom, and, like, we'll definitely reblog some of it, but oh my God, some of the fan art on Tumblr for this show is, like, unreal. It's so beautiful. People are pulling out all the stops. But one of the things I'm really excited about is after I played Last of Us 2, I played Last of Us and then Last of Us 2 in, like, very quick succession. And after sort of, like, a month of being, like, just buried deep in this game world, the summer of 2020, which was a, you know, incredibly weird time.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I need more of these characters. Where do I turn? I turned to AO3. And, like, the AO3 tag is, you know, for video games in general, tend not to be enormous. Mm-hmm. And there's not a ton of Last of Us fanfic. And, like, specifically what I'm looking for when I'm looking for a Last of Us fanfic is, like, I just want, like, you know, Joel and Ellie doing dad-daughter stuff, right? Like, I just want them being a family and, like, hanging out and being happy and safe.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what I'm looking for.
Safe and supported.
And exactly. And so I'm really excited that now the TV show has brought these characters to a much, much wider audience, including probably a lot of very talented fanfic writers who will want to write some stuff post season one, and I cannot wait to read all of those fics. So that's what I will be doing. Cherokee, are you just going to be focused on getting through the prologue?
Yeah, I think really I'm just going to dedicate myself to, you know, any free time I have, making it through that final, just one more zombie I got to get by over and over again. But the problem is, it's the one zombie that keeps killing me, but there's, like, a whole bunch of gameplay. It just resets quite far back. So every time I die, I, like, have to get, you know, like, it's like the getting at the top, you know, it's like a Sisyphus kind of situation that I'm in at the moment, but we're going to fight through it. Mm-hmm. And I hope to play through the game. I'll keep you posted once I make it through the prologue.
Please do.
I just loved, like, I loved this show so much. I have watched a lot of titles in the past that have video games or are based on video games. And this is the, and like, I've always been like tangentially kind of interested, but this is the first thing that I've watched that immediately made me be like, I must play this game. And so I'm really excited about that, to be entering this whole new world. And I hope and feel like I'm sure a lot of people are also entering this the world of this game as well. I believe yesterday, when we're recording this, is March 21st. Yesterday, they released it for PC. So I think that'll open it to a bunch more players as well. And so, yeah, just really, really stoked to you know, play with the pipe knife at some point.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Do you have any tips, Lauren?
I definitely think taking your time in a lot of the combat moving forward, once you get past that sort of initial, like, infected or running out at you and you're just trying to escape Austin, like, a lot of the time that you're encountering infected, it's like that sequence in the second episode where they're in that museum in Boston. There's mm-hmm. a lot of that kind of stuff. And that sequence exactly is happens in the game. And so take your time to really listen to, like, figure out the best way to get at an infected person. Watch their patterns of movement, and that will help you get through those sequences faster, because you won't just be dying over and over again by rushing into things. So that's my advice.
All right. I will keep that in mind. And are there any other, like, Easter eggs or things that you really liked that you noticed as a player throughout the season that, you know, new viewers to it wouldn't have?
I mean, definitely, as I mentioned, there were a couple of, like, weapons mm-hmm. things that came up, like the fact that Joel ditches one of the machine guns because he's like, finding ammo for this is so hard. Like, that's a real thing in the game. Like, certain guns you just, like, aren't worth keeping once you've run out of ammo for them. Also, there, when they were in Jackson, there were, I believe, two strong nods to the second game. The first has not been, like, confirmed, although I think Neil Druckmann liked a tweet about it, which is that the girl that Ellie, like, snaps at when they're in the dining hall. I was like, that's this character from Last of Us 2. I would bet anything. Like, I'm pretty sure that's her. And then also the little baby horse that Ellie pets, Shimmer, is in game 2.
So
those were two little Easter eggs that I really enjoyed.
Love that. I saw, like, a lot of people talking about how much, like, the scene with the giraffe in the final episode, people loved that, that they took the time to add that in, you know, from the game. And it was a real giraffe, which is also really cool that they
used. I know, it's so cool. So cute. And just,
great things.
Bella Ramsey's just so, all the feels.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite... A favorite episode or, like, a favorite moment from the show that, like, has just really stuck with you?
I mean, I feel cliche, but I, like, episode 3 just, I immediately rewatched it. I loved it so much. I really loved the story, and it was just so sweet. And I know that was something that was expanded upon by it from, like, a smaller storyline in the game. So really excited to see some of more of that in season 2 as well. And then I really liked the pun book and the punning, like, tie-in throughout. Oh my gosh. Love. Ellie, gal after my own heart.
Absolutely.
Wait, but what was your favorite episode or favorite moment?
I mean, episode 3 was, like, a really astonishing work of art. Like, I think, like I mentioned the week it aired, like, I was just, like, gently crying for 20 minutes mm-hmm. straight, which I just, like, don't often do. I either, like, shed one tear or I, like, sob at TV shows. And this was just, like, a steady stream of tears for 20 minutes. But I think my favorite moment was actually in the last episode. It was maybe based on, like, a couple of different, like, moments in the game, but that was mm-hmm. for all intents and purposes a new conversation, which is Ellie and Joel talking about how he got the scar on his head, and then her being like, you know, oh yeah, I mean, time heals all wounds, right? And he's like, it wasn't time that did it. I was like, oh god. There are so many times in both games where I just want to scream, like, say I love you to each other, you freaks.
Right?
And I feel like this is, like, the closest I've gotten, and it's so delicious.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, like, that and the, like, I've got you, baby girl, when she, like, runs out of the burning building. Ugh, just, like, punch through my heart. Like, found family. We love to see it.
We love to see it. We love to see it.
Speaking of, you know, things that punch us through our heart, our feels corner.
Yep.
What has you in your feels this week beyond just everything about The Last of Us?
Always and forever. Well, speaking of found family stuff, I have been I've been on a Star Wars kick recently, which I think I talked about last time because I went to Galaxy's Edge at Disney World, and now The Mandalorian is back and The Bad Batch is ending its season soon, and so I'm just like drowning in wonderful Star Wars content. But the thing I'm really excited for is that the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order, a video game, is coming out in late April. And I really loved Jedi Fallen Order. I thought it was great. And the game picks up 5 years after Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor, the one that comes out in April. And to sort of bridge the two, a book called Battle Scars by Sam Maggs came out a couple of weeks ago. And so I've been reading that. And it picks up where it picks up a couple years after the video game ends. And without sort of spoiling too much about the book or about the game, basically, you know, it's about this Jedi. And now he's on this ship with sort of his compatriots, and it's really great found family stuff. And Sam Maggs is just a phenomenal writer and a wonderful person. And so it's just been a real delight to read that book. I'm not done with it yet because I paused because I was like, wait a second, I don't remember some important stuff that happens in Jedi Fallen Order. So I'm going to go back and replay that game, which is what I'm doing right now. And then I'm going to pick up and continue to read this book because I want to be able to appreciate it fully.
Love it.
And it's also exploring, like, one of my favorite things to explore in Star Wars storytelling, and something that my other, like, favorite Star Wars book explores, Dark Disciple, which is this, it's actually like a very, like, Joel and Ellie coded thing, in my opinion. Like, it's a similar theme, which is that the Jedi are not supposed to form emotional attachments, right? Like, that's their whole thing. They're sort of supposed to be, like, separate from the world. And I love narratives that explore, like, no, what if Jedi actually, like, do have romances, like in Dark Disciple, or what if they have, like, a found family that they really love and want to take care of, like in Battle Scars, and like, how does that complicate their relationship to essentially their, like, religion and their way of life? And that's something that The Mandalorian is exploring really well, as really beautifully as well, with, you know, with Din Djarin's religion and now raising his son in that. And if you're looking for Pedro Pascal raising a child again, may I recommend The Mandalorian as a chaser to the shot that was The Last of Us?
My favorite genre.
Just got me in my feels. It's the best genre. Cherokee, what about you? What has you in your feels other than Daddy Pedro Pascal?
Other than Daddy Pedro Pascal, I have some other daddies in my feels this week. specifically Shadow Daddy. If you are a fan of Shadow and Bone, season 2 came out as we were chatting about earlier, and we did an answer time with the full cast. And there were, first off, just like the interactions between these cast members just warms my friggin' heart. And like, it's just so much fun to see compared to like the characters that we play or that they play. So the first group we had was Ben Barnes, Jesse Maylee, and Daisy Head. Ben is, of course, the Darkling. Jesse is Alina. And then Daisy is Jenya. And so one of the questions that was submitted was, who started the nickname Shadow Daddy? And it turns out it was the actress Danielle who plays Nina in the show. Fun fact.
Amazing.
But yeah, this was just like a really fun Q&A. And I also just have a new Blorbo from Shadow and Bone, and that is Wylan, played by Jack Wolf. Jack Wolf is a perfect little forest nymph of a human being, and like is so perfect for the character of Wylan. Really loved season 2. Very excited for the next Shadow and Bone. And also we did a segment called Cast Your Votes, where the cast made polls, and we actually posted the polls on the Netflix Tumblr so you can participate in them.
Amazing.
So we have some great questions in there, like shadow or bone. That was a really contentious one. Or which crow would be least helpful in a crisis. So, you know, a lot of debate, a lot of great stuff. And so, yeah, that just really has me in my feels because that was so much fun. I really love the books, loved season one, have already binge watched season two. And also, this is a little kind of pre in my feels thing because it hasn't premiered yet. I believe it comes out on March 31st, but we're doing an answer time with the cast of Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves, and we're going to be recording it. It goes live on the 30th. So I really loved that movie and it was like great. Can't wait for it to come out. And that also gave me a lot of feels. And I think there's going to be multiple of these movies. So just a lot of great, great stuff coming out. I'm going to go play some more Last of Us and hopefully make it through the prologue.
Good luck and Godspeed.
You know, thank you very much. I will be texting you updates. And in the meantime, please. I'm Cherokee McAnally, and you can find me at chero.tumblr.com.
And I'm Lauren Shippen, and you can find me at thelaurenshippen.tumblr.com.
This has been Dashboard Diaries, and
may your anons always be loving,
your dash always refresh,
your gifts always be loading,
and your ships always canon.
May the fixer reading always be finished,
and the answers you seek always in the reblogs.
Thanks for scrolling with us.